There are countless jobs that make a society function. What does it mean to perform a certain occupation? What are the day-to-day activities? This is Community Connections, and I'm your host, Heather Rose, and together, we aim to find out.
Hey, this is Heather Rose of Community Connections, a program that chronicles the functions and everyday activities of the myriad roles we find in society. Today, we have a special edition of Community Connections, where we are joined by Dr. Karen Nolan, a researcher at the Kessler Foundation and Associate Director of the Center for Mobility and Rehabilitation Engineering in New Jersey. Hi, Dr. Nolan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. Well, can we start with you sharing a little bit about your work at the Kessler Foundation on traumatic brain injury?
Sure. So Kessler Foundation is a nonprofit company who does rehabilitation research in both cognitive and mobility challenges for individuals with spinal cord injury, stroke, and traumatic brain injury, and some other neurological deficits. My specialty has been in stroke and brain injury for the last 20 years, and my job is to do clinical trials and rehabilitation research at Kessler Foundation. So we ask innovative questions. For me, my goal is to drive improvements in mobility. So I want to change how somebody walks, improve how someone walks, drive improvements in recovery after a traumatic brain injury.
Can I share something with you?
Sure.
Today is the 27th anniversary of my traumatic brain injury.
Wow. Wow, that is amazing. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah, I couldn't walk or talk or read a book or do any activities of daily living, but here I am.
So your lived experience and my research are an intersection. So I would love to talk to you more about that. And if you're ever in the area, we would love to have you involved in our research.
Sure. If I ever get down there, that would be great. I love research. Well, what do you do there at the Kessler Foundation?
So my job is really to apply novel interventions, strategies, and techniques to drive improvements mostly in motor function, and my specialty is in walking function. So I really dissect the walking process to really understand where the deficits are, what we can do, what strategies or interventions or robotic devices we could apply to help individuals recover as much function as possible. So as you know very well, recovery after a traumatic brain injury is a process. And so the process kind of goes in a trajectory that's individual to each person. And what we want to try to do is have as many treatment options or as many treatment strategies as we can to continue that recovery process. And my job as a researcher is really to look at a lot of those different strategies and techniques and do clinical trials or research. So I get to partner not only with individuals who have had traumatic brain injury, their caregivers, clinicians in the rehabilitation hospital, and industry professionals who are creating these devices to really look at how we can change the rehabilitation and recovery process. And I get to ask really innovative questions, and then I get to conduct the research to understand how these different strategies and techniques can change the rehabilitation landscape.
That sounds amazing. Can you give an example of an innovative question?
Sure. So recently, I say within the last 10, 12 years, we've been looking at rehabilitation robotics. And robotics for rehabilitation, for what I do, is applying a rigid device to the outside of the body and putting movement or joints or motors where we have joints in our body. And the idea is to compensate or assist when the joints in our body aren't able to do it independently. So to break that down and make it more easy to understand, if you have a difficult time moving your knee, the idea would be to put a rigid structure at your lower limb so that your knee is helped with a motor. So when the knee rotates, we can help the knee rotate with motorized assistance. And the idea is that the exoskeleton or rehabilitation robotic moves with you, and then it kind of fades into the background when you can take control, because the goal would be rehabilitation or recovery of function. So we apply them in a really smart way.
Well, how do they determine that your, you know, that ability? And how,
so that's a really good question.
Yeah.
So So it's basically, how does it know? How is it smart enough? So initially what we do is we apply the device through the hands of a physical therapist. And so we're driving the techniques and strategies that physical therapists employ through a robot. So they are able to program the device to add or reduce assistance at the hip and the knee, and sometimes at the ankle, to provide what's absolutely needed individual to each patient. The goal eventually is to free the person as much as possible, so they're doing as much work as they can. So when they get out of the robot, they've recovered function.
Yeah, like a crutch or something.
Right. And the goal is, in past rehabilitation techniques, what we did was we compensated for deficits. And so you're exactly right. We would have a crutch or a brace or a walker. And really what those devices do, while they're tremendous assistance for rehabilitation, they compensate for lost function. What we want to do through rehabilitation robotics is we want to use smart motors and smart technology to help facilitate recovery of those movements. So instead of compensating for the deficits, we want to compensate, which we do because the motors assist. But what we want to be able to do is take away that assistance and drive recovery. So instead of a lifetime of compensation, we're trying to always drive regaining function, always driving recovery. And so for me, that's been really exciting, because when I first got here, I was really investigating assistive devices. And assistive devices are tremendous and they help and it can get people up and walking. But what's so exciting now in the world of AI and intelligent systems is now we can apply technology that not only compensates, but can drive recovery, which is very exciting.
Well, I think you're trying to get the body, you're facilitating the movement, but trying to get the body to do it itself eventually.
That's right. So the idea, especially after a brain injury, the rest of the body, if the signals are sent by the brain, and the signals got through to the joint in the most simplest way, right? If the area of the brain that was damaged was repaired, we could send those signals again. And in the absence of being able to repair the brain, what could we do? Could we tap in a little lower into the system and have the devices help the body move in a healthy way with the signals being facilitated, or the movements being facilitated by like a robotic device? And so the idea is, can we drive recovery by moving the joint or moving the lower limb in a healthy way where they regain that range of motion and regain that function? And as you well know, the exciting thing about that is, for me, I'm dissecting walking. How do they take each step? How are they balanced? How do they shift their weight? How do they bend their knee, their ankle, their hip? But what that results in is more aisles in the grocery store, being able to walk not just to the mailbox, but maybe down the street to the neighbor's house. Maybe it means that when the walk, don't walk sign flashes, they can walk a little faster and get across the street. And so we're trying to not only drive healthy movements and recovery, but functional movements in the community so that everybody can fully participate after they've had their brain injury in the way that they want to participate.
Yeah, reintegration into community is so important.
Absolutely. And that's really what all of this is about. So as we want recovery, we want that recovery of movement. And my background's in biomechanics. And so everything that I do is looking at the physics of human motion. And in driving the changes in the physics of human motion, the ultimate goal is full participation in the community. So I'm looking at the math and the forces and the physics behind the human motion to drive recovery. But ultimately, I want you to be able to go and do and participate at the beach, at the grocery store, walking across the street, going to Costco, going to an amusement park, getting on the ground and playing with children or family members and being able to get back up. So really being able to participate. So if I can drive the physics and the biomechanics of your human movement to recover after a brain injury, all of those activities become more possible.
Definitely. And it gives you more independence.
Absolutely. And so the more you can participate, the more you can independently function in moving your own joints and limbs in balance, the more that you can be independent in the community.
I love that. Well, you're considered a leader in the field of biomechanics. For those unfamiliar, what is the field of biomechanics and why is it so important for rehabilitation?
So biomechanics is really looking at the physics of human motion. And so what we're doing is we're looking at the skeletal system of the human system. We're looking at bones and muscles integrated, and we're looking at the forces, and we're looking at the loading and the balance. So we're really taking all the puzzle pieces that make up the human body, and we're looking how they how they collaborate together. And we want to see how they work together to help you walk and move and do all the activities that make you independent. And so really what I get to do is ask really interesting questions to understand how we can modify or augment where the human system is not able to do it anymore after a brain injury, and we can either facilitate or drive that recovery. And so we're really looking at the best puzzle pieces of the skeletal system and how to plug in the bones and muscles and the forces to get you to do the activities that you're interested in doing. What we have is really sophisticated systems here at Kessler Foundation. So we have state-of-the-art technology in our GAIT lab. So GAIT, meaning G-A-I-T, most people think GAIT, G-A-T-E. So GAIT, meaning the study of walking. And we are able to really comprehensively, throughout our technology, look at how the muscles fire, how you can shift weight, how your body rotates in space. And we can take all of that, make it a math equation and a physics equation, and really understand very precisely what's changing every time we integrate or implement a novel strategy or technique or device.
That is so cool because, well, the human body is so variable. How do you make it one standard equation?
So the idea is really to take everyone's individual performance and measure that and then look at the whole. So what we want to do is individualize treatment strategies so that we can drive each individual's recovery progression. But then what we can do is put it together and look globally how devices affect each individual population. So whether it's stroke or brain injury or any other population that we see here at Kessler Foundation.
Okay. So, well, you briefly got into it, but your research focuses on rehabilitation robotics. When I hear that, I think of something out of a sci-fi movie. Can you describe what these robots are and how they help patients?
Sure. So recently, in the last 10 years, we've been doing rehabilitation robotics. And what that does is it helps facilitate movement when the individual cannot move on their own, or it helps assist when there's weakness. And so a lot of times after a traumatic brain injury, there isn't just absence of movement, there's weakness in that movement. So what you want to do is help the individual move. So what you're looking at is these devices have a rigid structure, so like a mechanical hard edges on the outside that can help provide rigid support. And then there's motorized joints that help align with your hip, your knee, and your ankle to help assist with movement. The two parts of every robotic exoskeleton, there's the rigid support on the outside, and that helps each individual with support when they can't support themselves. And then there's the brains of the device, and that usually comes in the form of software. And each software package is really run by a physical therapist. And so the physical therapist takes the knowledge they learned in school and implements it through the software program. And so it's really like having an extra set of hands to help drive the movements that are needed. And it can be done in a systematic way. And also you can remove that assistance when they start to experience recovery. And what's really exciting about this is that at Kessler Foundation, we've been able to partner with Kessler Institute for Rehabilitation, which is a rehabilitation hospital. And through our research, we've been able to have these devices put right on the unit. So they're able to use these devices as they're developed right on the unit with patients. The other thing we're fortunate to do is partner with industry. So we're able to partner with industry professionals who are creating these devices to give them feedback, not only from researchers, not only from the patients, but also from the clinicians. So we can suggest put handles here, or maybe change the way that this rotates, or this was too heavy, or this caused a little pinch in the skin. You know, so we know the different things that we get feedback from all the stakeholders to really drive the device to be as good as it can be. And what's been really beneficial for my research is to be able to take that data and work with industry to get clearance from the FDA so these devices are available for those that need them.
That was a question in my head that was forming. Who has access to this technology?
So originally the devices were available available for research. Since we started doing the research and getting the efficacy, safety, and feasibility data, that data has been submitted to the FDA. And there are numerous devices currently available that can be used in the clinic, and there are some devices that can be used at home. And so right now there's right now at Kessler Institute for Rehabilitation, they're using some of these devices right in the inpatient facility as patients come in and if they need them. We're also doing clinical trials at Kessler Foundation. And so our clinical trials are ongoing through federal agencies to really investigate how these devices should be applied, where in the rehabilitation process they should be applied, how long they should be applied for, and really looking at this driving the most recovery you can get out of implementing these kinds of devices.
That's really cool. I wish they had that when I was in the hospital. That would have been neat.
What I think they're trying to do in the rehabilitation landscape is really leverage our knowledge of technology these days and also integrate some AI so we can really understand how to implement things in a really smart way, but also continue to provide individualized rehabilitation. And the idea is to understand each individual person, what their needs are, most importantly, what their goals are and what they want to return to doing and to maximize that recovery. And so if we can implement devices to drive each individual's progression, then I think we've met the goals of our rehabilitation process.
That kind of sounds like occupational therapy too.
So it's really integrated. So occupational therapy, physical therapy, the physiatrists that are involved, really it's the whole clinical team that wants to drive as many modalities or options in order to improve mobility after a brain injury.
Yeah, tackle it from all sides. Cool. Well, working with both adults and children with brain injuries, what are some of the biggest differences or challenges in helping these two groups with mobility?
So that's a great question. So I have mostly done research with adults. 10 years ago, we partnered with Children's Specialized Hospital and we started doing a lot of research in children. And the first thing you quickly learn is that a lot of these devices don't necessarily scale from adult to child. And so really having sizes that are more appropriate for children is really important. The other thing you'll quickly learn is that while adults tolerate things, children don't. And so you quickly learn the things you were doing that you could improve upon. And children will let you know in a very verbal way how to improve what you're doing. And what's wonderful is that you get to deal with parents who are also advocates for their children. And so the caregivers of children are very active. So you get very close relationships with the caregivers of children who have had brain injuries, who give you a lot of really good information on what they're looking for, what they don't have options to, and where research really should be going. And so having that communication with direct communication with caregivers really helps to inform me on what research needs to happen and what research I should really be looking into to maximize how we can help people with disabilities.
That's a good point. So what are you hearing from these parents?
A lot of it is that when we speak to the parents, what we often get is that the devices are not scaled for children or some of the devices aren't made for children. So currently a lot more things are being taken from the adult world and created. So rehabilitation robotics specifically are being created for pediatric populations. They're taking assistive devices and scaling them to children. And so we've got a lot more children-specific devices available so that they're sized correctly and pair appropriately.
Cool. Yeah.
And also hearing that children want to run, leap, jump, participate with their peers, right? So the goals of a child are really to be able to participate as independently as possible with their peers. And so what we want to do is give them devices or give them strategies or interventions that help drive as much motor recovery as possible, but also in a seamless way so that they can fully participate in the schoolyard and fully participate with their peers.
Well, do you have an example of one such strategy?
Probably the best would be when children need bracing technology, right? So sometimes children need bracing technology at their lower limb to help with their foot, to lift their foot. There's a couple different options, and typically children are provided bracing. And one option is providing electrical stimulation to the lower limb that helps facilitate movement. So depending on what your child needs, it's possible that providing a smaller brace to the lower limb that provides that lift in the foot is more seamless so they can wear different footwear rather than bracing technology, which which might be needed for rigid support. So it really depends on the individual needs of the child. But if you can sort of change the bracing technology so that they can wear more comfortable shoes, that sometimes makes children able to participate in the community or participate with their peers if they can wear easier to put on and take off footwear.
That's for sure. Yeah. For some neurodivergent people, it's hard to tie their shoes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So in that case, there's a lot of step-in shoes that are available now. And obviously, Velcro shoes are very popular.
And also very cool looking.
Yes.
Retro. Well, you have received several awards and honors throughout your career. Is there a particular project or breakthrough that you're most proud of?
I'm probably most proud of the work that we've done that's led to devices getting approval, because ultimately my goal is to improve the lives of individuals with disabilities. And so whatever we can do to find devices, strategies, or techniques that really need clearance, and we can provide the data for that. So as a researcher, if I can conduct a systematic clinical trial and collect data that shows the device is safe and effective, and that device gets approved and it's accessible to somebody with a disability and it helps improve their quality of life, that's the most rewarding thing that can happen, because you've really made a difference. And so in partnering with rehabilitation hospitals and patients, caregivers, and industry, we've had a number of devices receive clearance that industry created so that they're really accessible for people to use.
Awesome. Yeah, accessibility is where it's at, especially if you're disabled. Well, for the listeners who just joined us, how can they check you out and support your work?
So a lot of details on the work that we do at Kessler Foundation is available at kesslerfoundation.org. I'll say that again so that I can say it really slow, because I'm sure that's what Carmen wants me to do. So for anyone who's interested in the research that we do at Kessler Foundation, a lot of the research and clinical trials are available at Kessler, K-E-S-S-L-E-R, foundation.org. And you can see the different centers that we have at Kessler Foundation. And there's research that involves cognition, mobility, and return to work initiatives. And a lot of the work that I do in mobility is represented in the Center for Mobility and Rehabilitation Engineering. And you'll see upper limb robotics, lower limb robotics. You'll see novel strategies for treadmill-based training, balance training, and even electrical stimulation research initiatives. Really, the whole goal for us is to drive recovery. And so we want to understand how somebody moves, and we have state-of-the-art technology to do that. And then we want to really ask insightful research questions to understand why there could be changes and how we can get that translated into clinical care. But at Kessler Foundation, our goal is really to improve the lives of individuals with disabilities.
I love that. Love that. So, but outside your research, you're also a professor at Rutgers University, as well as an affiliated faculty member at the New Jersey Institute of Technology. How do you balance your work in the lab with teaching and mentoring students?
So really, as a researcher, my goal is to conduct research, understand and ask novel questions, obtain grant funding from federal, state, and industry sponsors, as well as ongoing and continued mentorship. And so the goal is always to be training the next generation of scientists, teaching strategies and techniques to the next generation of scientists. And that could be high school students, college students, graduate students, postdoc students, medical residents, fellows, could be junior scientists. And really the goal is constantly sharing the strategies and the techniques and the research that we do, sharing the data, having introducing people to patient populations they may not be familiar with, and really continuing to share the knowledge so that it can be built upon for future generations of scientists.
Okay, wow, that's lofty but achievable.
It sounds really lofty, but it's so true, because mentorship is so critical to the science process. And at Kessler Foundation, I was a postdoctoral fellow for 2 years before I became a scientist. And so in some ways, continuing to mentor is giving back to the people who helped me. And it's so critical to continue teaching and sharing. And also the students who come up really understand the new latest and greatest technology that's out there. And so we learn from them as well. So understanding how to use some of the new technologies, changes in software and hardware. And so there's always new things that we can learn. And sometimes the students know how to use the technology that is being used in schools. And so we learn from each other.
I love that. Symbiotic. Well, the field of rehabilitation seems to be constantly evolving. What is one trend or new technology that you're most excited about right now?
So right now, I think the field of neuromodulation is incredibly hot. And what's happening is we're trying to understand the brain-motor connection, and we're trying to understand how we can try to modulate or how we can affect the neural system in order to drive that continuous recovery. And so what we're doing right now in traumatic brain injury is we're implementing a new initiative. We're looking at using electrical stimulation over the spine, so transcutaneous over the skin, transcutaneous stimulation over the spine to see if we can drive motor recovery or walking ambulation recovery after a traumatic brain injury. And so we're looking at a chronic population, people who have had or more than a year post-injury. And we're seeing how this strategy or technique can drive motor recovery. And is it superior to just doing walking training alone? And so that's funded through the Department of Defense. And we're really looking to partner and see how we can investigate using neuromodulation and traumatic brain injury.
What are you finding?
So we're only just starting. We've gotten everything situated. We have all the approvals to start, and we are hoping to enroll our first participant this month. But I will definitely keep you updated to what we find.
Yeah, keep me posted. I'm sure I would love to hear about your efficacy.
Absolutely.
So for someone listening who might be dealing with a mobility challenge, what is one piece of advice you would give them about pursuing rehabilitation?
Probably the most critical advice would be always advocate for yourself. Always allow your caregivers and loved ones to advocate for you as well. And never stop trying to recover function. Constantly look for new strategies, techniques, new ways to move, new ways to try. And I think the idea is that what we're learning about the world of neuroplasticity is that the brain is remarkable and it has an unbelievable ability to heal and relearn. And we're only just understanding how to tap into that. And so I would say, as a lifetime of recovery, keep trying new things and keep working on recovery.
That is some sound advice. Well,
thank you.
You're welcome. What does a typical workday look like for you?
So a typical workday usually involves visits with participants or individuals who are in our studies, working with research assistants and research coordinators, as well as physical therapists who are on the study team, really working with a team of people to conduct clinical trials. I'm also responsible for disseminating our information that we get. So we create publications, we do media like this. We have the opportunity to share our data at conferences. So we often prepare conferences and lectures to be able to share or disseminate whatever we find, and routinely looking for additional funding options. And so the majority of our research, all of our research is through funded initiatives, either federal, state, or industry sponsored, or by generous donations from philanthropic people in the community. So Kessler Foundation is really using funds that we obtain to understand these novel to study these novel questions and to conduct rehabilitation research.
Right, to ultimately improve the lives of people with disability.
Absolutely. And you just proved I said it enough that now you know.
Yep. Well, we all have challenges. What are some of your everyday challenges as a TBI researcher?
So I think sometimes managing all the things that we do, we wear a lot of different hats. And so I think the varied activities that we do every day, from writing grants, disseminating our data, running clinical trials, as well as mentorship, I think we wear a lot of hats as researchers. So balancing your day-to-day is always something that needs to stay very organized. But I think for me, I like the fast-paced changes of every day, how things change, whether it's mentorship, to writing a grant, to writing a paper, to disseminating, to seeing a patient, to asking a new research question. So sometimes I talk really fast, and that's also how my brain sort of functions through all these things. And so for me, it keeps things very exciting every day that I go to work.
Well, that's hopeful. Let's end on a hopeful note. What do you see as hopeful in your research?
I think it's really exciting in the world of neuroplasticity and rehabilitation research that we're just seeing so many ways that we can drive recovery of motor function, as well as watching how we can help the brain heal after a traumatic brain injury and stroke. And I think we're starting to really have the resolution and technology to understand how the brain changes as we implement different rehabilitation strategies. So if we do a walking intervention, we can actually measure the changes in the brain. So here at Kessler Foundation, we have an MRI center, so we can actually take pictures and take information about how the electrical activity in the brain is changing after we do an intervention or do a research clinical trial. And so not only do we understand how the motor function is changing, but we can really understand what's happening and changing in the brain. And we can continue to understand that so we can inform new research questions as well as change the interventions that are available.
Sounds like science.
Science is great.
Yeah, scientific research. I love it. The scientific method. Well, this is Community Connections. You have been listening to Dr. Karen Nolan, researcher at the Kessler Foundation and associate director of the Center for Mobility and Rehabilitation Engineering. And I'm Heather Rose with Radio Free Roanoke 95.7 FM.